The people of the northeastern state of Borno, and by extension Nigeria, have been hit again by Takfiri group Boko Haram. Members of the group detonated their explosive vest near a camp of displaced people in the volatile birthplace of the terror group. And though not entirely unexpected, as the region has been a frequent target of terror, Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari has some serious questions to answer about his administration's approach to the Boko Haram threat. With poverty rampant in many of these areas, and particularly amongst the young in camps for the internally displaced, is there a plan B for the president? He rode in on a wave of popular support for his pledge to crush terror. Has he done so?
The attack in Borno bears all of the hallmarks of Boko Haram, who often uses radicalized females to carry out its murderous work. Dalori is one of the largest camps allocated to internally displaced people in the remote region, and Boko Haram terrorists had previously tried to hit the camp. Back in January last year, Takfiri militants killed at least 85 people as they rampaged through the communities near Dalori. They burned down houses and killed people either by gunfire or by detonating explosives. Whilst the military commission recently cleared Nigerian army commanders of committing any wrongdoing in their fight against Boko Haram, an Amnesty International report cited the murder and disappearance of thousands of people from 2009 at the beginning of the insurgency to 2015 when the report was written. Could the brutal crackdown on suspected terrorists be actually helping to fuel their actions? Does the Nigerian government need a better plan to battle Boko Haram?
Welcome to the program. This is Africa Today. My name is Amina Taylor, and I'm your host for this edition. So, another terror attack in Nigeria, and more questions for the authorities. Joining me to wade through the latest on this worrying new development, I have with me Adam Awudo. He's the political analyst on African affairs, alongside Legun Akinloye, political analyst on Nigeria. Gentlemen, it's good to see you, even if it's once again on the rather distressing news. I come to you first, Adam. Your response to the latest terror?
My response to the latest terror is as usual, because there is nothing that a state like Nigeria is doing to stop this carnage from happening in Nigeria, and to be precise, northeastern part of Nigeria. Muhammad Buhari, as you said, was ridden high on the agenda of crushing the Boko Haram. In the first place, Olusegun Obasanjo said to Jonathan Goodluck, "We've got people that we can talk to stop these attacks." And Olusegun Obasanjo wasn't held accountable for what he said, that if it were to be in a society such as this in the United Kingdom, the security intelligence would work with Olusegun Obasanjo to give them the links to the direction of the Boko Haram, so that if not even a dialogue, but to have links and ways to crush Boko Haram, they would have done it. But
I'm going to come back to some of those concerns, because you raise a few things there that I'd really like to expand. First, Legun, your reaction. You know, these are your people. This is a very important time for the country.
As always, when an attack like this takes place, I'm extremely saddened for the sheer reason that not only have lives been lost, but at the same time, the government and President Buhari rode on a crest of hope. People believed in him, changing the economy, in him changing their life for better, and for him destroying the scourge of Boko Haram. And it seems that he has failed in that aspect. We were giving him some kudos a few months ago, because in comparison to 2 years ago, it is true Boko Haram has been beat back. But as of recent, the in the spates of suicide bombings and the guerrilla tactics that have taken place have risen, and Boko Haram seem to be resurging once again.
You mentioned something there, Adam, that I'd actually like to draw you back on. This idea that there were no real links from one administration to the next. Was that politicking being played instead of thinking about what's really best for the country in that moment?
Everything in that country is politicking. And the real perpetrators of this heinous crime cannot be far away from the politicians themselves. You look at the emancipation of the Northern Delta, which was formed to thwart the efforts of the multinational oil companies to come to terms to help the Northern Delta. It was an agenda which was set by individuals, but it ended up in the hands of politicians. The formation of Boko Haram wasn't as a terrorist organization. We all know those from the West Africa, Ghana, and other parts of West Africa, Ivory Coast, Togo, Nigeria, who studied in Saudi Arabia and came back with the idea of the Wahhabism. Because there is no job for people, they followed them. But as they were following them, the politician capitalized on that to perpetuate their agenda of getting mass support. As a result of political transition in 1999 in Nigeria, the governors were using the Boko Haram. It wasn't Boko Haram. It was a group of people who were working to support themselves. So when you do that, the injustice becomes wider. The gap between the rich and the poor becomes very wide. The poor man cannot have food to eat. I'm not justifying the activities of Boko Haram, but I'm finding a way of getting rid of Boko Haram without the military brutality in that country. So everything that we are talking about here today, based on politics, if the politicians are willing to curb Boko Haram, they would have done it.
I'm going to come back to you, Legon, on just two things you mentioned there. But first, this little piece here, because the Takfiri terror group's violence continues to contribute to the displacement of people in Nigeria. And we know that well over 5 million such people remain in what is termed severely food insecure. And around 500,000 children are expected to suffer from severe acute malnutrition just this year. And now the rainy season will simply complicate response efforts from humanitarian groups, with road conditions becoming worse and flooding will make it almost impossible to reach the hungry.
The quiet before the storm. For Nigeria, this is planting season, but will its agriculture survive? The season begins with mothers holding their young, already with huge challenges. Babies being tested for malnutrition, looking for support. Education is survival here. Knowing how to cook fortified food may save hundreds of thousands from famine.
Malnutrition is one of the greatest challenges in this area here. And within this camp specifically, we've seen the rates drop from over 30% to about less than 10%. And this has been as a result of the food assistance we've had to provide in this location.
With food stores from the previous harvest running out, rates of hunger and malnutrition are on the rise. In the hardest hit states of Nigeria, more than one third of local residents are at extreme risk of famine. Displaced people are concentrated in local shelters in northeast Nigeria. This man was displaced during one rainy season, he says, when Boko Haram invaded his village and ran towards the mountain behind him. We stayed there for about 6 months. We had no food there and had to get drinking water from ponds, he says. He was one of many, making through each day eating tree leaves and anything they could find. Tens of thousands of people line up for food. It's an endless battle. These people are victims fleeing from Boko Haram, but even worse, fleeing from government officials stealing their food. They don't know when their season of hunger will end.
Legon, do you think the Nigerian authorities have done enough to prepare the people for a rainy season like this, where there is a possibility that the hunger, that poverty, can lead to agitation?
There have been an increased effort by the Nigerian government to try and take over the humanitarian efforts and relief. Sadly, they've been below par, I think, because it is...
You know, 50% of the aid efforts go elsewhere.
That is a big issue in itself. Half of the aid that's meant to be for these IDP camps and for the displaced people are diverted by highly placed individuals and find themselves on the marketplace at a high price. That is enough to let you know that the issue about humanitarian aid is not only political, but financial, and corruption is still endemic. And if corruption is still endemic, how do you hope for a situation in which these people who require tents, who require food, who require a roof over their head, are taken care of? I think the ones that are functional are the ones who belong to the Red Cross or Médecins Sans Frontières, or which are organized by foreign aid workers, which is a slight on the Nigerian government, because it is up to them to ensure that their people remain safe. And this hasn't been done, sadly.
This doesn't say much about the competence of the authorities who are supposed to address this, because I see a direct correlation between this poverty and what happens down the line in terms of violence and elsewhere.
Obviously, it is the same thing that I would also say. You see, this is a whole national issue. It is affecting the security of the nation, it is affecting the economy of the nation, and building of a human resources and all capacity in Nigeria, northern part of Nigeria. Already, they're lacking a lot of capacity building in that country and infrastructure in the northern part of Nigeria. So the government should have taken this Boko Haram issue seriously, investigated thoroughly, whether by dialoguing or by having a proper military or joint community and traditional rulers and military action to curb the situation. Abubakar Atiku, the former vice president of Nigeria, single-handedly hired hunters and fought the so-called Boko Haram from the Adamawa state. And he made big success. They're no more there. Why can't a whole state fight Boko Haram? When they were proceeding to the forest of the Zambeza forest, the military action ceased for 2 weeks. They went in, no element of Boko Haram. Why? These are some of the questions that we need to ask.
Those are important questions, Olegun, about missed opportunities and resources not being properly directed.
I think when it comes to the Nigerian army and the resources being misdirected, I think it all boils down to the leadership of Nigerian army, the inability and the power struggles within them. We're dealing with competing officers and high-ranking officials who, in a way, benefit off the largesse that has been received from Nigerian government to fight them. And this has led to competition between generals and who will take the most, and competition between the junior members for superiority. The objective doesn't seem to be a correct one, in the terms that the objective is to fight Boko Haram, but at the same time to get bogged down in not only politics, but my local issues.
Part of that bogging down, unfortunately, has also manifested itself as human rights abuses against those who are suspected militants. Nothing proved in a court of law. You I think your face says it all.
It makes me laugh. You see, when we talk about crackdown of the insurgents in northeastern parts of Nigeria, to be precise,
the Amnesty report was damning on this.
We have to have intelligence. There should be a proper surveillance. We have to have people that will be targeted because of their activities or their links with the alleged terrorist organization. Has the Nigerian security intelligence given any information out that these are the infrastructures of Boko Haram, where their money resources are coming from, who are supporting them, and their mode of operation? And for that matter, we have to target these three vital channels to curb Boko Haram. Now, what happened is, if there is an attack on a member of the army or a group of soldiers, that village will be dealt with properly. That is how the African security forces work.
We'll come back to that. We'll come back to that, because those are damning claims there. And I'm just going to see what you guys have been saying on the social media about some of this, because I think it feeds into that. Let's kick things off with Masa in Nigeria, who says our government is failing every single day. It's one of the richest countries in Africa, but is not capable of ending a bunch of crazy fanatics without abusing ordinary people in the process. The army is only capable of torturing and killing defenseless people, not Boko Haram. Aliyu says, I still remember our president saying that Boko Haram is finished and is no longer a, quote, fighting force. But I read somewhere that they've carried out over 60 terror attacks only in 6 months. The president was and is a liar and a waste of our money. And Abu Iza from Nigeria says, it is clear that Nigeria wants the West to help them because they can't do it themselves. Do you remember our dumb Air Force bombed a refugee settlement by mistake, killing hundreds of innocent civilians? At least when the West bombs innocent civilians, they do it in other countries. But both are murderers. And guys, I want to make sure you get in contact with us to give us your views, not just on this topic, but on anything else that you think should be covered. And if you want to get in touch with us, here's how. We're discussing another terror attack that's been attributed to the Takfiri terror group, Boko Haram, and my guests are here just going through a couple of the ideas about how we've got to this point when we had a president who came in on a wave of pledge, very simple one to his country, I will make you richer and I will crush the terror scourge that is Boko Haram. There's always been a question about every country, and we know bringing this program to you from London about attacks that have been suffered here in the United Kingdom. So it's not as if we're saying terror doesn't happen everywhere. But should there have been more, you think, Legun, of some kind of coordinated efforts between Western forces and Nigerian forces? Perhaps a sharing of intelligence?
During the tenure of Goodluck Jonathan, which was from 2010-2015, there have been efforts by France, Germany, America, and the UK to help in tracking down, for example, the Chibok girls and after the UN bombing in Abuja. But they not only accused the administration of Jonathan of human rights violations, America went as far as to stop the sale of Israeli air jets to Nigeria, citing human rights. They found the coordination very difficult because the Nigerian army were not giving them the information that they needed. They were behaving very, very secretive, and there was just a general mistrust and lack of trust between each different army. And therefore, they've given up. They are trying under President Buhari currently, but even now, there's not enough information being shared, which frankly, to me, goes against the objective.
You don't want the West meddling, that is true. You don't want somebody coming in your country and saying, this is how we're going to sort out your problem. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, if you have information that might be pertinent or you're in some ways able to help, how do you view that particular build-up, Adam?
Yes, as I said earlier on, that everything that is being done in Nigeria now in relation to Boko Haram, either MED or any security threat to the nation, they haven't got a cogent or a coherent plan and information to share.
So would you think that would be deliberate or incompetence? Because sometimes
it's sheer incompetence. It's not a deliberate act. Look, to gather information in Africa is very, very difficult. One, you don't have a correct data. Two, address system in that country. Nigeria used to have a very good address system, but now I don't know what is happening to the country. And how to track people down is very, very difficult.
So they're not where they're supposed to be, and the road that used to be the road isn't the road.
We are not proactive. They are always reactive to issue. If there is a bombing tomorrow, then they will jump on there to say we want to do this.
So you don't think the West has done enough, but that's the Nigeria's
West,
problem?
What do they want? The West is doing what would make them consolidate their gains from Nigeria, but not to make you have a peaceful atmosphere that you'll be thinking of how to marshal resources together to get all your oil rigs and get oil refineries in Nigeria to refine oil.
to sell to your people, or to get a generation, power generation point to generate electricity to supply Nigerians, to start assembling vehicles in Nigeria, to start doing a whole lot of things and building your human resources to become a prosperous nation once again. They wouldn't do that. So all these security, atrocities that is going on in Nigeria, one way or the other, pleases the West to carry out their commercial interest in Nigeria.
We'll leave it there for the moment. We know that Boko Haram has been a constant threat without any real signs of being defeated, despite some of those efforts. And when people feel the government is not doing enough, well, they sometimes take the matter into their own hands.
With the image of civil engineer, the world is living witness. Within 1 week, we have secured the whole city of Maiduguri. We pushed the just outside the state capital. And at that time, there is not any law that give us power to operate. Disability is child necessity. We came out to help the security agents to perform their duty. Because the security agents, when they were here, they were strangers, one. They did not know the terrain very well. And they didn't know who are the members of Boko Haram.
Right.
Because we live with the members of Boko Haram in the same community, the same neighborhood. And we know who and who are the members of the Boko Haram. Mm-hmm. To our surprise, during the last regime, after the present regime, federal government have never stepped in to stand with the members of CJTF. They left all the burden on Borno state government. All the mobility, transportation that give us, if we have casualties, training, everything, the button loaded on Borno state government. And what we are doing, we're not doing it for Borno state government, we are doing it for the Federal Republic of Nigeria. So I see no reason why federal government should not come in and stand with the members of CJTF. All the members that we lost, almost about 670 something, not the first government, or the present government, even a high delegation, just to come and condole us. Nobody has even come to condole the members of civil engineers.
Are we going to say this is vigilantism or appropriate defense, Legan?
Vigilantes and paramilitary groups, I suppose.
Why do you say that?
No, because they've been involved in the history of Nigeria for a very long time. Many politicians have private armies themselves, and it's only in this case that they're being used to fight terrorist groups. But they are part and parcel of state governments and like the environment itself. For example, even the Mossad people in the Niger Delta, they have them all over Igbo land. They're meant to protect you from, you know, cattle rustlers or like, you know. But it's only now that they're taking on a militarized aspect to fight Boko Haram. But they've always been part and parcel.
What does it say about the competence of the country that even their Borno state, they're saying, look, we've been left to our own devices, so we've had to do this?
There is not, they don't have, Nigeria is not competent enough to fight in this. I think the government should put their hands up and said, enough is enough. We can't do it. We need the expert to come in and help us. Nigeria is not far from Ghana. They should get intelligence from Ghana. The Ghanaian army will do very well, and they will help them solve the problem in Nigeria. The Ghanaian army did very good job in Liberia and Sierra Leone to halt all those civil wars by using the Nigerian infrastructure and equipment. Because Ghana did not have infrastructure and equipment then. So they used the Nigerians' equipment to solve those problems. At West Africa, we are together. What goes on in Nigeria, the triple effect
affects everyone. And we're going to leave it there, guys, because we're going to have to monitor the situation closely and bring you more at a future date. There's always so much to say. And over here at Africa Today, especially from my good self, we love hearing from you with your comments and your suggestions. Visit our social media pages and let us know what you think. Thank you to my learned guests, Adam Owudu and Legun Akinloye, for their insight. And as always, to you for joining us. I've been Amina Taylor. Keep it right here. Keep it on Press TV.